I will be reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So two readings about peace. One, 700 years before Jesus was born, saying he would be the Prince of Peace. And then the angels announcing him. The Christmas story from the Bible. I'm going to need a volunteer, a bit of help. I'm looking for someone with a good imagination. Someone with a good imagination to come and help me. Yeah, there, do you want to come up? Come stand over here for me. Let's move that. What's your name?
Amelia.
Amelia. And you have got a good imagination? Mm-hmm. Amelia, what have you liked our TV programs today? What do you like watching on TV? Do you know? Let me tell you, this year, I have discovered a new favourite television programme. It's been on for a while, but much to do with its very successful move to Channel 4, I have discovered a programme called British Bake Off. It used to be rubbish, but now it's brilliant. Don't you agree? Of course. So I thought, after these shows, we'd do a bit of Bake Off up here today. Of course, it's Magic Bake Off. That's why you need to use your bit of imagination. We're going to make something to appear in here. And I don't know about you, when you were in school or if you're still in school, boys and girls, whether you do these poems, a recipe for Christmas, something like that. Well, what we're going to do, I found a few of these on the internet. So we're going to put a recipe for Christmas and make a nice Christmas treat to appear in here. Okay. All I want you to do, Amelia, is with your wonderful imagination, whilst I read the recipe out, throw in the ingredients magically into my pot. Okay, so I'm going to say something like, "Half a cup of hugs," and you, beautiful, wonderful. Okay, here's the Christmas recipe. Recipe for Christmas, number one. Half a cup of hugs, 4 teaspoons of kisses, 3/4 of a cup of smiles. Good, smile while you do that one. 4 cups of love, 1 cup of special holiday cheer, 3 teaspoons of Christmas spirits, 2 cups of goodwill towards men, 1 sprig of mistletoe, and 1 medium-sized bag of Christmas snowflakes. We could have got some of them today. And then what we need to do for Magic Christmas Bake Off is give it a little wave over the top. And we will see that. Let's have a look what we've made with that Christmas recipe. What's in there?
A cake.
A cake. Oh, you've got the imagination. Nothing. Okay. Right. I'm not good on the imagination stuff. Right. That one didn't quite work. I've got another one. Okay. So same again. Throw the ingredients in. This one's for a recipe for Christmas. Take a quart of glass. What's a quart? Take a quart of gladness, whatever it is, throw it in. A peck of folk and kin. A dash of Christmas spirit and toss some laughter in. Take a large amount of sin and spread it generously. Garnish well with human kindness on crystal leaves of cheer. Oh, right. Very good. All the ingredients have gone in. Let's have a look. What have we made? Nothing. Okay. One more. Let's try one more for me. What I want you to do this time. Lost the thing there. What I want you to do this time is to throw in the three things we've been talking about this evening. So the first one right in our first reading was fear. So throw in a bit of fear. And then the second one with the angels was peace. Throw in some peace. And then third and finally in that final reading we found out about joy. Throw in some joy. Okay, so we've got a bit of fear, a bit of peace, and a bit of joy is my recipe for Christmas. Here we go. One, two, three. What's in there? Candy canes! Give a round of applause for Amelia. If you bear with me for a few minutes, I'd love to tell you why I think my three words are the real recipe for Christmas. Can you remember what the first one was? Boys and girls shouted out for
fear.
Fear is a bit of a funny one to start with. I suppose we all fear. Some people fear the dark. Some people fear being caught in a snowstorm far away in the valleys. Some people fear all things. But actually, Christmas can bring some fears for us. At Christmas time, perhaps some people fear being alone. Some people are sad and fear being alone. And even if we've got our family around us, perhaps we fear arguing or things not being quite what they're like on the television, the perfect Christmas family. I suppose we can fear the big day not quite being as big as we think. Or maybe not getting that perfect day right, just like on the adverts. Or maybe the day after when it's all a bit, Christmas is over again. And actually at the end of the year, sometimes we fear the bigger questions. Like, what have I done the last year? Where's the last year gone? What am I going to do in the next year? And huge questions like, what's it all about? Well, our Bible reading, the angels told everyone they saw not to fear. Not because there wasn't fears to have, but their answer was Jesus. Don't fear because Jesus. Because if we believe in God and we believe in Jesus, well, we don't have to fear being alone or our expectation being all about the big day or even those questions like, what's life all about? He answers the big questions. But we do have to admit that if we believe in God, we have to believe that there's a problem, that we're not friends with him. Which leads us to our second word, boys and girls, which was peace. The second recipe is peace. Now, I don't know about you, but my house isn't very peaceful. I live with three other boys and their mum, but mainly the three other boys and me. When mum's not around, it's not quiet. We make lots of noise, lots of fun. We do lots of wrestling and fun things. The house is a complete mess. It's noisy, and we don't get any of the jobs done that we're supposed to. If you've got boys, you'll know what it's like. But in my house, there's this wonderful time. I'm sure it's in your house too. It's called bedtime. When the boys go upstairs to bed, and sometimes I sit in my chair and I say, oh, peace. But it's not really peace. It's a lot quieter. But the house is still a mess. And the jobs that were supposed to be done aren't done. It's quiet, but everything's not back to the way it's supposed to be. It's like in a war. When two has gone fighting, if someone stops fighting for one day, it doesn't mean there's peace. It just means it's gone a bit quieter for a day. It's when everybody sits around a table and talks and negotiates, then you can have peace. You see, Jesus came because we're not friends with God. Because we've said, God, I want to do things my own way. our rebellion, me saying, God, I'm in charge and I don't want your way. And that same passage in Isaiah that told us that Jesus would be the Prince of Peace, later on tells us how he made peace for us. It says this: he was wounded and bruised for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. You see, the Prince of Peace came at Christmas, but he achieved peace for us at Easter when he died on the cross. To take that rebellion, as saying to God, my way, not yours, on himself, and to take that punishment on himself so that we could know peace, be friends with God the way it was always supposed to be. And because of this, what was word number three? Very good. Joy. All together. One, two, three.
Joy.
Some grown-ups as well. Well done. Because of this, we can know real joy. We can know what it is to be friends with God. I've got a little book here. I'd love to give you a copy. It's called The Search for Joy That Lasts. And this is what this bloke says. He says true joy is found not in getting to Christmas. Sometimes we just think, whew, we got there. Or in getting through Christmas. We've got through the big day. But he says true joy is found in getting Christmas, grasping its meaning and experience its feeling. If we know that Christmas is all about how Jesus came so that we can be friends and have peace with God, then we will know true joy. Not the joy that opens the present and thinks it's wonderful until the next day when it breaks so we find something better, but joy that will last forever. I'd love to give you a little book to read about that. We're going to talk about that a lot more. Come and see us on Christmas morning. We're going to talk about what it means to be joyful. But today, we don't need to fear, like the angel said, because Jesus has got peace for us. And if we truly know and understand that, we can know real joy this Christmas. And we can sing a great carol and stand up and sing, Joy to the World, the Lord has come.